Yikes. Which will kill you.
No, thank you.
Demons don't give a shit about locks.
A little bit grim.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. We're here.
We're here.
We're doing it.
The first episode.
The first actual episode.
The first actual episode.
With stories.
I'm really excited.
I am too. This is a paranormal episode.
Yes. Yeah, so buckle up.
It's about to get spooky.
Creepy. Maybe just turn down the lights a little.
Ooh.
Light yourself a little candle.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully you're in a bubble bath or something fun, but you're probably driving.
That's yes.
When I'm listening to podcasts.
It's probably 7:45 in the morning and somebody is like scrambling to get to Starbucks and they're late. And
uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope you have a good day at work if that's you.
Yeah. I hope that somebody, the person in front of you pays for your Starbucks. That'd be really cool.
Oh my God. Look at you putting good vibes into the universe.
You know, I just hope good things for everybody.
You sweet, kind soul.
Oh, thanks.
Want to talk about demons?
Yeah. I want to talk about demons.
Cool. Let's do it.
All right. So you're going to go first, right?
Yes.
You're going to tell me a demon story.
I'm going to tell you the most demon story.
Oh, all right, I need to get settled in here.
Are you ready?
Get comfy, get my wine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, tell me everything.
Okay, so I'm about to tell you about the Ammons Haunting Case, aka the Demon House, aka the House of 200 Demons.
Zach Bagans' house.
Zach Bagelbite's house.
Yes, yes. Okay, so I know very little about this house. Literally the only thing I know is that Zach Bagans bought it and then like demoed it or burnt it down.
Oh my God. Spoilers.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine. Everybody knows that.
Okay. And it was in Gary, Indiana.
It was. It's right in our own backyard. There okay. is more than corn in Indiana. We also have demons.
Great.
Love it so much.
Okay. So that's all I know. So tell me the rest.
Okay. So Hoosier ghosts.
Yes, yes, yes.
The LaToya haunting case happened right here in Indiana in Gary. If you guys don't know about Gary, Indiana, it's like a little offshoot of Chicago.
Uh-huh.
It's a little rough around the edges.
Mm-hmm. We don't stop there when we're on our way to Chicago.
And we would advise you to not stop there either.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
If you're from Gary, we wish you well.
We love you.
Hope that you are safe and sound.
And not in the demon house.
Truly.
So this hot mess of a haunting happened in 2011.
Oh.
But it blew up in like 2014. It kind of went viral. The Indie Star got a hold of it and posted like a huge long. And that's a lot of what my research is from the Indie Star. So this is about LaToya Adams, her mother, Rosa, and LaToya's three children. So at the time she had a 10-year-old daughter, a 9-year-old son, and a 7-year-old son. And they went through some wild shit.
Okay.
Like, they really went through it. So what is so fascinating about this is that there are so many government officials, and there's over 800 pages of DCS reports documenting the possession of these children in LaToya.
Pause. What's DCS?
Oh, Department of Child Services.
Okay, great.
Yeah, so if, like, they suspect something is, like, going on with kids, they come, they take them, they investigate, like, right, familial right, situations.
Right. I should have known that, but I didn't.
There is, oh, it's all good. And I think they're called something different in, like, all the states, so I should have clarified that anyway.
I thought they were, I don't know. I don't know what I was thinking of. Maybe I was thinking of SCAN.
Oh.
Here in Fort Wayne.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, continue.
Anyway, you just outed where we lived.
There's what, 2 million people in this city. I don't think anybody's going to triangulate us.
That's fair. That's fair. So there is, and I'll get to this, but there is a police captain okay. named Charles Austin, who was on the Gary Police Department for 36 years. Like we said, Gary is a little bit rough.
Yeah.
Like 36 years as a captain of the Gary Police Department, this man has seen some shit. And when he was asked about it by the Indy Star, all he said was, I'm a believer and I'm not going back in that house.
Yikes.
He has since retired.
Yikes.
Yikes. Okay. So, late November 2011, the family moves into 3860 Carolina Street. LaToya, her mom Rosa, and her three kids moved in. Everything was lovely, fantastic, like new home for them. Really good for like 3 days.
They didn't make it far.
No, she's not even unpacked. Like she,
poor thing.
The she's dishes good. Are still in the box.
Oh no.
And her screened-in patio starts getting swarmed with flies.
Always a great sign.
Demons sure do love flies.
Yeah, they do.
So they kill them, they kill them, they kill them. They keep coming back. Rosa is automatically like, this ain't right. She's like, something's going on. She's like, we kill all the flies. They keep coming back. She already has the hoogity boogities.
Rosa sounds like a 85-year-old Catholic grandmother that is like, got her rosary in hand 90% of her life.
That is a very apt description of Rosa.
Okay, great.
As depicted in this story. Yes. So she doesn't actually have any like real issue with the demon. Like, she's the only one in the family who does not actually get possessed. And she says it's because she was born with a special kind of spiritual protection from evil.
Huh.
So.
Interesting.
Right.
Okay.
So 3 days in, lots of flies. Salt still in a box. Probably doesn't know where Palo Santo is.
Right.
Her tarot deck. She's struggling. So they carry on. And over the next couple weeks, they start getting your very typical, you know, footsteps up the basement stairs. They hear the door creak open.
No, thanks.
No one's there.
Pass.
Wet boot prints on the floor.
Why are they wet?
Well, concerning. It's a new house. Like, they probably just wax that floor.
Right. Don't fuck with the floor.
I swear demons are so disrespectful to, like, housekeeping. It's unreal.
Right. Sure. Misplacing shit, too.
Also, yeah. Like, that would drive me banana. I misplace my shit enough. I need no, like, supernatural help.
Right.
So they lock the door, the door that leads from the basement to the kitchen. They lock it. Obviously, demons don't give a shit about locks. So that door just keeps swinging open, keeps flying open. More flies. Just the general escalation of hoogity boogity.
General badness.
General badness. It's no one is really comfortable in the house. LaToya really doesn't know what to do. The kids are really freaked out. Rosa's just holed up in her room praying. She was like, she was in there with the Bible every single night, like reciting Psalms.
Well, she's, yeah, the demons are going to leave that lady alone.
Well, she's scary. She has a Bible and a rosary and faith. Right. Like, you're going to leave her alone.
That's so much of a challenge.
Correct.
Not when there's like four other like easy pickings right, in like this house.
Poor kids, just with their right. imaginations, just like trying to play. And the demon's like, I pick you.
Ugh.
Right. So this goes on for a couple months. And it's like just your like run of the mill ghost stuff.
Okay.
Right. Until March 10th, 2012. So we're what, like 5 months
yeah.
in? It's 2 a.m. Normally everybody is in bed. However, in this particular evening, they are mourning the loss of a loved one. So it's LaToya, Rosa, and LaToya's three kids, and some miscellaneous family members. They're all over, you know, just talking, hanging out. LaToya's oldest daughter is asleep in Rosa's room. LaToya goes to check on her, and she starts screaming for her mom, for her family. Everybody comes running because her oldest daughter is levitating off of the bed.
No.
Big no. This is going to be a no for me.
Yeah, no.
So they all join hands. They start praying. Rosa is leading the prayer, and eventually she descends. She awakens, has no memory of this situation.
I got all over body chills right now.
Right. And so the other families are like, peace. Like, we're out. This is wild. And they never come back.
Okay.
Fair.
It sounds like family.
I mean,
like, you're in a real hard spot and everybody's like, goodbye.
I don't think so.
No.
I'm just here for, like, the light floofy stuff.
Right. Like, the average run-of-the-mill, like, grief, like, we can handle. Because, like,
yeah,
you know, as humans, we're, like, supposed to be prepared for that kind of stuff. And we know how to, like, kind of comfort each other in those situations. But humans levitating off the bed, there is no guidebook for that. There's no, like,
how do you talk
possession for dummies?
How do you talk a friend through that? Like, I'm so sorry your child levitated off of a bed. How can I help you during this trying time?
I don't think that there are enough therapists.
There's not. And so they all left.
Yeah. Okay.
Understandably so.
Sure, sure, sure.
Sure. So everything from there kind of begins to ramp up. The youngest son gets thrown out of a bathroom hallway, out across the hallway, like into a door. The oldest daughter, the exact words from the report says, got hit in the head with a headboard. Not like hit her head on the headboard. A headboard flew off and smacked her so hard in the noggin that she had to go get stitches. Right.
Homie.
So that starts like a medical trail of this family.
Okay.
Having.
Is that still in March?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're kind of carrying on. It's like a week, couple weeks. Things are really starting to escalate. LaToya is getting really scared. So she does what people are inclined to do. She calls the church.
Yeah.
And the church, as the church does, is like, ma'am, please stop calling.
We cannot help you.
No. Would you like to donate to our tithe?
Oh, right. No.
So she calls all the churches around in the Lake Gary, Merrillville area, and she finally finds one that gives her a little bit of guidance as to what to do. So they tell her to clean her house with bleach and ammonia and then pray.
Demons don't care about bleach?
Okay, now let's pause very briefly. Number one, demons don't give a shit about bleach or ammonia.
No.
No, they just don't. Like, get some Palo Santo, some sage, Florida water, thieves oil, selenite, tourmaline, salt.
Hi, donut.
My cat agrees with me.
Yes.
That demons don't care
no.
about that. Two, if you mix bleach and ammonia, that's how you make chlorine gas, which will kill you if the demons don't kill you first.
Oh.
Right.
Oh, no.
So this church is just giving out, like, all around not fantastic advice. Right?
No, I don't think that that's a great idea.
No. So because LaToya is also a smart cookie, she goes and she gets advice from clairvoyants in her area also.
Okay.
Who give her a little bit better advice. They tell her to move.
Oh, good idea.
Right.
Yeah.
Which, oh, why didn't she think of that? Obviously, due to financial constraints, the family is not able to move. They just moved in like 4 months ago. I'm sure there's a lease in place.
Right.
Right. So they advise her to go down into her basement, which seems to be the place where the activity is starting from, mm-hmm. and create an altar, which she does. She goes down. She places a statue of like three big biblical figures. She reads scripture out loud. She's with Rosa. And things get better. It feels lighter. Everything is wonderful.
Okay.
For 3 days. That's all you get.
So they moved in and like things were good for like 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
3 days here.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Right. And shit is really about to go sideways.
A little haywire.
A lot. A lot haywire.
Cool. I'm nervous.
So we're back to some activity, kids getting thrown around, some like bumps, bruises because they're getting tossed around. The youngest boy is sitting in his like bedroom closet in the dark talking to nobody there. The middle child is having his eyes roll back in his head. He's growling, speaking in tongues. You know, just a couple concerning things.
You know, reason number 465 why I would never want children. The demons coming after them that way.
Kids straight up see ghosts.
Oh, for sure.
And like, I grew up out of that phase of like minimal trauma, and I just don't want to relive that.
No. You can't protect your kids from like normal, like the evil that is up walking around in this world with like the faces and stuff.
The evil you can see and put in jail.
Yeah, but like that kind. Nope.
There's too many big scary things for like a sweet baby child to be exposed to, and it gives me anxiety.
Yeah.
So
sweaty.
LaToya also is having sweaty anxiety.
Poor LaToya.
Bless this woman.
Sweet lady.
She's also having experiences where she's having like blackouts and she's losing chunks of time and she doesn't know what's going on. And Rosa is just doing nothing but praying all damn day long, trying to like get a little relief for the people that she loves. And so it finally gets to a point that LaToya, with no one else to turn to, she's not getting any relief from the church. She's not getting any help with mediums or clairvoyance. She goes to the only other institution that people can trust. And she asks her family physician, who I can't pronounce his last name. So he is Dr. Jeff.
Okay. Hi, Dr. Jeff.
Dr. Jeff. Poor, poor Dr. Jeff.
Oh, no.
So the whole family goes in. Latoya, the three kids, they're sitting in the room. The Indy Star actually interviewed Dr. Jeff, and he said, it was bizarre. 20 years, I've never heard anything like that in my life. I was scared myself when I walked into the room. And his medical notes, which were released to the Indy Star, he wrote that Latoya was having delusions of ghosts in home, hallucinations. He also wrote history of ghosts in home and delusional. So what Latoya and Rosa say happened next was also detailed in a DCS report of a family case manager's interviews that she had with medical staff. So chaos fucking erupted in this doctor's waiting room. The sons raged, eyes rolled back in their head, passed out, yeah. Like one lost consciousness, would not come to. So the waiting room, like the person who sits at a desk and checks you in.
Yeah, the like receptionist.
Yeah. She calls 911.
Okay.
And so they come.
Okay.
There's five paramedics. It takes five grown men to hold down her middle son.
How old is he?
9. Oh. So he's raging and cursing and screaming and growling, teeth bared. And they eventually take all of the children to the hospital. Time down, sedate them, get them there.
These poor kids.
Yeah, there's 7 or 8 police officers, multiple ambulances. Poor Dr. Jeff recounted that everybody was chaos. They couldn't figure out exactly what was happening. And they all took them to Methodist Hospital's campus in Gary. Latoya tried to anoint her children in olive oil while all of this was happening, okay. As like the church instructed her to. And the hospital personnel just laughed at her and like wouldn't give her access to her kids to be able to like care for them in that way.
Sure.
She said she wasn't allowed to talk to them, so she talked to God instead. The boys woke up in the hospital. The older boy, who's 9, acted rationally, but the youngest continued to scream and thrash. Took five men to hold them down.
Wow.
So medical staff called DCS, mm-hmm. and they were asked to investigate Latoya for child abuse or neglect, because obviously you're not leaving, like, if you're not living in this demon-infested home, I'm sure it can, like,
it looks a certain way.
It looks a little suspect, sure. I'm sure. So the caller wasn't named in the DCS report, but they speculated that Latoya might have a mental illness. They believed that the children were performing for Latoya, that she was encouraging their behavior. So here enters Miss Valerie Washington, a seasoned veteran of the Indiana DCS. Bless this poor woman.
Oh.
For not quitting her job on this day.
Great.
So she came to the hospital. She took in like intake report of the family. She questioned them. Hospital personnel examined Latoya and her children, found them to be otherwise healthy. The hospital psychiatrist evaluated her, determined she was of sound mind. Valerie then interviewed the family in the hospital. And when she spoke with Latoya, the youngest boy, who's 7, started growling with his teeth bared and his eyeballs rolled back in his head. Then the younger boy, strangled, reached up and put his hands around the neck of his older brother.
Oh my God.
So the older brother then starts fighting the younger brother,
okay.
And headbutting him in the stomach. And it's chaos. So let me paint the scene for you.
Please do.
Poor Miss Valerie with DCS is just trying to interview this family and figure out what the hell is going on with these kids.
Right.
Rosa is in the room supervising her grandchildren.
Yeah.
And then there's just like some poor intern nurse standing in the corner just supervising this whole thing.
Oh no, not the intern. Leave them out of it.
They don't even get paid for this.
It's a weekend. He's probably like 17 and a half. Oh my God. Like, he's like just trying to play video games.
Too hungover to live. Just trying to make it through the day. When a 7-year-old boy begins strangling his 9-year-old brother. So the 9-year-old brother begins headbutting his younger brother while both are growling, eyes rolled back, unconscious, in and out, delusional.
So I'm going to sleep here tonight. Is sure. What you're saying.
Yeah, that's fine. We can snuggle on the sofa.
I'm very scared when I have to go home by myself.
Oh, but wait.
Oh, no.
So Rosa, seeing the chaos, and the two staff members absolutely have no idea what to do, grasps both of the boys' hands and starts praying. I got chills because I know what I'm about to tell you. Whew. Okay. So in Valerie's DCS report of what happens next is corroborated by this poor nurse in the room. The 9-year-old suddenly went quiet, got a weird grin.
Oh, I don't like it.
Walked backward up the wall onto the ceiling. He then flipped over Rosa and landed on his feet while never letting go of her hand.
Bro. No. Why? No.
The nurse.
But this is like not in the house.
This is right? In a hospital. Like with police officers, a nurse, DCS, the grandmother. LaToya's in another room getting interviewed by police. I wish.
I'm sweating.
You look like you're sweating.
I am very uncomfortable.
Okay. And the all thing right. is, like, you hear these, like, gross. Wild, unreal things.
Sure.
But the fact that there are over 800 pages of DCS reports about this family in this case.
Yuck.
When Valerie was recounting this.
Poor Val Wash.
I mean, the good old V Wash. Bless her heart. They did not. I can tell you that like, accelerated bachelor's degree for, like, social services did not cover
demon possession.
No. There's not a chapter.
No. They're probably, like, if, like, somebody talks about demons, see psych evaluation. Like, right. It's, like, skip ahead.
Yeah. But she was fine. They did her psych evaluation.
But there's, like, not a part after that. Like,
no.
That's all that there is.
It's, like, a continuous loop of, like, see section two.
Yeah.
Right. No. So. The nurse is recounting this to the police. They have to get Valerie's statement. The police go, so Valerie, did this child, you know, walk up the wall, onto the ceiling, and then flip over? Valerie says, no. She said, this boy glided backwards up the wall and onto the ceiling.
Blah.
Blah.
But I don't know. I don't like it.
It, like, I'm so uncomfortable, like, my molars feel itchy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
my insides say like are mad.
A little churny.
A little in squeamish.
Here. It's not great. Ooh. So as all normal educated people do,
sure.
Valerie and the nurse got the fuck out of Dodge and dipped. They ran out of the room and left poor badass Rosa in there holding her grandson's hands. One who has his eyes rolled back in his head, speaking in tongues. The other one is doing, like, satanic parkour all over the walls. And she is just praying like a rock-solid, steadfast badass.
Damn, dude.
Right.
Okay.
Donut doesn't like it either.
Yeah, I know. Come on.
So, DCS took a drastic step for the state of Indiana, and they took immediate custody of the children without a court order because obviously everyone is very distressed.
Yeah, and not everybody is okay.
No. No one. Honestly, no one is okay.
Right.
So, during all of this, enters Reverend Michael Magnapapadoopadoo. We're going to call him Reverend Mike because I can't pronounce his last name.
We got Jeff and we got Mike.
Dr. Jeff and Reverend Mike.
Got it.
Boy, are they in here.
Okay, cool.
So.
Continue.
Reverend Mike just chilling in his house, hosting Bible study like he does, when the hospital chaplain calls and goes, listen, buddy, we're really going to need you to get in here on this one.
Oh, my gosh.
They talk about the details. He ruled out natural causes with DCS, the police department, other hospital staff members, the hospital chaplain, They're like, there's nothing else that we think can be going on in describing these insane instances. So good old Reverend Mike is like, don't worry, y'all. I got this. So he goes over to the house at the request of the hospital chaplain, who initially wants him to do an exorcism on the 9-year-old boy. You know, the guy doing the flips and stuff?
Yeah.
That's what the hospital chaplain wants.
Okay.
But after meeting with the family, he had a 4-hour interview. During the interview, Rosa is there. She points out that every time he talks, the bathroom lights behind him begin to flicker. When he stands up to go walk over them, they turn off.
No.
There are swinging blinds, even though there is no air current happening, and wet boot prints.
Now,
again, the disrespect.
Honestly.
I would be mad if I just, like, mopped that floor.
Ooh.
Ooh, I don't think so.
It probably started with, like, a kid came in with wet boot prints, and LaToya was like, yeah, kids coming in here with these wet boot prints, and they were like, it was a demon, Mom!
Or the demon just, like, got ideas.
Right,
it's like, I'm gonna make it so dusty in this bitch.
Ooh.
So, during the interview, he notices that LaToya is acting very strangely. She seems very detached. And during one moment, he pulls his crucifix out and holds it against her forehead. And she starts convulsing and, like, foaming at the mouth.
Wait, LaToya?
Yeah,
mom. Okay. Jesus.
Right. So, this whole time, they thought it was, like, mostly focused on the kids because that's who's having, like, the most extreme symptoms? Sure. Is it symptoms of demonic possession?
Symptoms that there's another word that's on the tip of my tongue, but I can't think of it. I don't know.
Yes. I'm going to call
Let's go symptoms.
Symptoms. Like it's the chicken pox.
Mm-hmm.
So he realizes like, oh, maybe all of this is starting with LaToya. The demon is mad at her because she did the like biblical altar down in the basement.
Right.
So he also determined, good old Reverend Mike, that in addition to this being 100% demons, they also have bonus ghosts. It's demons and ghosts. It's both. There's a lot of activity happening that's, like, not satanic.
They just decided to have, like, a demon ghost play date and then never leave?
Maybe it's, like, on ley lines or something. Ooh. We'll have to cover that in another episode about, like, ley lines and, like, the energy between them and why people believe that. We'll cover that.
Fascinating.
Stay tuned. So, 2-for-1 special, spooky special in the house. He performs an exorcism on LaToya. It seems to, like, go okay-ish.
That's not great. You don't want your exorcism to go okay-ish.
You really want that to be very solid.
Yeah, like, cut and dry.
Like, oh, and now you're done.
Right. Like, I would prefer to see, like, black smoke, like, coming out of somebody's mouth and eyes and, like, going out the window.
I would not prefer to see that. I would just like for it to be done.
But, like, no, I want to see it. I want to see it go. I'm a visual learner. I need to see it happening and, like, going away. Like, I don't trust. Demons are tricky.
I don't play with demons.
No.
No, ma'am. Okay. So, DCS, this is fun. This is a fun little bonus part. DCS follows up and brings 2 police officers with her. Our old friend, our old seasoned veteran.
Oh, Valwash.
Valwash. Good old Valwash comes back and she's like, what's really good here?
I can just see her like going up those stairs like, what the fuck? Probably
somebody
not,
call.
Though, because she's, like, DCS. She probably is, like, mad at anybody who swears in front of those baby children.
Oh, my God. She's, like, probably very tired. She's been working probably, like, 18 hours at this point.
Oh, my gosh.
Hasn't eaten in 2 days. She's very busy. So, these 2 police officers come in.
Yeah.
You know, strapped, if you will. They have their, like, recording equipment. They have their, like, little digital cameras that they use to record evidence. And they're going through the house, making sure that, like, the conditions are healthy for children to live in, for families to live in. They go down to the basement where all the activity is said to start.
Mm-mm.
And then one of the police officers who had just replaced the batteries in his recording equipment, the entire system malfunctions and turns off. The other police officer catches EVPs. Of little, hello.
No.
Hey.
Ooh.
Like, Those are ghosts.
Yeah, those feel like...
A demon would be like, I'm going to eat you.
Right.
But like...
ghosts are like, hey, boy.
What you got going on, officer?
What'd you have for lunch?
They're just curious. They're
just
hanging.
Just like trying to get you to go, blah! But like demons are like trying to take your soul with them back to hell.
Yeah. Yeah. Drag me to hell.
No.
Yes. Well, not me. But,
well, I mean.
But yes. So they whip out their camera. They start taking pictures in the basement underneath the stairs where all of this, you know, begins to originate. And they find pictures of mists. And when you zoom in.
About to show me?
Oh, boy, am I.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy, am I. About to show you a spooky picture.
I'm going to have to, like, bring deodorant here. And, like, leave it. So that when you tell me stories, I can, like, freshen up afterwards.
I will say this case makes me very sweaty.
Okay.
Okay.
Show me.
So this photo is from the outside of the house. It shows a picture of the encased front porch where all the flies started.
Okay.
And you can see.
Oh, that's a person.
No, it's a demon.
Oh, that is a human-shaped demon.
It's tall and skeletal and like a translucent white standing in the window.
Like he's the same shade as like the white on the patio, but you can clearly see that he is not like solid.
No, he's not. Well, he's missing a little bit of his like bottom third.
Right. Like, head and shoulders clear as day. Even, like, a hand. It looks like he's almost, like, got a hand up out of, yeah. Like, to...
Oh, like, yeah.
Hey, boy. Take my picture.
Well, the police officer said that when he was leaving, he turned around. He felt like somebody was watching him, and he took the photo. And he said that because nobody else... At this point, LaToya had and Rosa had moved. The children, okay. Unfortunately, had been separated.
Oh.
At this point... And so there was nobody left in the house. It was the two police officers, good old Val Wash, and LaToya had left. And he said he felt like somebody was watching him. He turned around. Nobody was there. And he snapped the photo. And he later saw that image.
No.
So both of the police officers had vehicular issues as they drove away from the house. One of the... police cruisers, their like driver's seat motor malfunctioned and was causing the seat to like move up and down and like forwards and backwards and around. And he went straight to the dealership because it was like difficult to drive. And they said, oh my gosh, this could have had like a terrible like car accident.
Like catastrophic kind of.
Yeah. If like your seat is moving around, it's like, you know, right. Tricky. And then the other police officer, when he got home, his garage door wouldn't open. His car had like electrical issues. But at this point, the family moved out.
Yeah.
It seems that after they left and removed themselves from the house, all of their issues alleviated.
Interesting.
And then in 2018, Zach Bagelbites came.
Bagelbites, TM, 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 Christine, and M. We can't steal their thunder of nicknaming Bagelbites.
On God, I have a hard time remembering what his real name is.
Baggins.
Ah.
Zach Baggins, I believe.
I will try to commit that to memory, but I make no promises.
All right.
So he came. He made a documentary called Ghost House. I believe it's on Hulu if you want to watch it. And then, I mean, that's kind of – he tore the house down. It kept getting vandalized by locals.
Oh, man.
And so he purchased the property, and he tore it down, which to me seems a little shiesty. Like, he seems like the type to, like, exploit demons.
Right.
So I feel a little sad that I can't go there and, like, go down in the basement.
I'm shocked he didn't make it a museum.
I mean, that's what he does. Mm-hmm. He's a thing.
Yeah. His museum seems really cool, though.
I would like to go there.
Is
Annabelle there?
Yes.
Mm.
And Peggy. And Robert.
Oh, my God. So many creepy names for but toys.
Isn't Annabelle and Peggy the same? Or is Annabelle a separate? Is Annabelle her own doll?
I don't know. Let's cover it in a later story and figure out the truth.
Yeah.
We will get back to you on that.
On the dolls.
Cool. So that is the story of the Ammons haunting.
Holy moly.
I need a drink.
That's a lot.
There's a lot happening there. And I'm exhausted just thinking about it.
Do we know anything about what happened to the kids? Or, like, they just got separated?
They got separated. I would like to think that they all came back together as, like, a happy family.
Let us hope.
Yeah. And pray. No, demon free.
Yeah.
A demon free familial unit.
Yeah, like maybe like moved to Hammond, Indiana. Oh yeah, like LaPorte.
Yeah, Kokomo.
Kokomo.
I love Kokomo. It's like a cute little Delphi.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of places to go in Indiana.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we should cover the Delphi case.
Yeah, I was thinking about the serial killer in LaPorte.
Ooh, or Carmel.
Mm.
Ooh, Indiana's so oogie spooky.
I know, we've got a lot here. People tend to look us over, but man.
But boy, do we have a lot of weirdos.
We got a lot of weirdos, a lot of ghosts,
mm-hmm.
a couple serial killers.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun time over here in the Cornland.
Rootin' tootin' good time. So, all right, thanks for listening to me.
Yeah, all right. Ready for my story? Are you ready?
I was born ready.
I'm going to tell you the story of the RMS Queen Mary.
Oh! I love a good queen story. Is there an actual queen?
Kind of.
Oh, okay. I'll settle.
Yeah. So I stayed here on my honeymoon. And sadly, I do not think that I saw a ghost. But
you don't think you saw a ghost?
I don't think I saw a ghost.
Maybe that like late night waffle you ordered was like actually delivered by a by a ghost concierge.
It's possible, but
the waffle was real.
The waffle was real.
Sure.
But it was a great time, and the history on the boat is really cool. They have a Princess Diana like museum.
Ooh.
On the boat. Which was very interesting because I was like, we're in Long Beach, California. Why do we have a Princess Diana Museum?
Weird place for a shrine, but okay.
Right. So I have some statistics and fun facts to start us out with.
God, I love data.
Yeah.
You are very data oriented as a person.
And I love research.
Yes.
So this is our calling, honestly.
I mean.
Creepy shit and research.
You are good with facts and like statistics and numbers. And I'm like, listen to this whack ass shit.
Yeah.
It's a good balance.
So for the next approximately 5 minutes, there's going to be a few numbers thrown out at you.
Okay, great. I'm ready.
Okay. But first of all, RMS, which I had no idea what mm-hmm. that stands for. It stands for Royal Mail Ship. So basically that means that this ship can carry mail from England to the United States or vice versa.
Ooh.
Yeah. I was like, interesting. Cool.
That's something I never thought about back in the day.
Yeah.
Like how mail worked.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Fun. Okay.
So that's a fun fact. Walt Disney sailed aboard the Queen Mary to attend the European premiere of Alice in Wonderland.
Of course he did, that creepy bastard.
In 1951. You leave Walt Disney alone.
I'm sorry. He's a creep, though.
Others, the Duke and Duchess of Windsor, Greta Garbo, Clark Gable, Mary Pickford, George and Ira Gershwin, and Sir Winston Churchill all sailed aboard the
Ooh.
Queen Mary. So it was a very high-end cruise liner.
Fancy pants boat.
Fancy pants. So the other fancy pants boat that we all know and love is
the Titanic.
The Titanic.
I love the Titanic so much.
The Queen Mary is actually longer than the Titanic.
Ooh.
By a couple of hundred feet.
I am not trying to derail you,
yeah.
but I just learned the most bananas fact about the filming of the Titanic via NPR this morning.
Okay.
Did you know that at one of the cast gatherings, somebody spiked a chowder with PCP and the entire cast and crew got fucked up and ran around the halls and caused chaos.
God.
They were high on PCP.
Oh.
Nobody ever talks about that.
I wonder why.
Anyway, go.
Wow. That is yikes.
You're welcome. Fun boat facts.
Fun boat facts.
By Taylor and Jenny.
So the Queen Mary is 1,020 feet long, where the Titanic was 883 feet long.
Ooh.
Yeah. So a lot of people think that the Titanic was larger because it had four of those big
like
smokestack thingies.
Yeah.
One of them was fake.
Why?
I don't know. To make it look bigger.
To make it sink better?
Probably.
Cool.
Less aerodynamic. So if you were to look at pictures of both the Queen Mary and the Titanic, you're going to think that the Titanic is bigger.
Wrong.
Because it had four instead of three, but the Queen Mary had three. just as a comparison, a football field is 360 feet long.
Cool.
and the Queen Mary was 1,000 feet long.
Was that about 3.5?
Sure. Okay. Don't make me math. The Eiffel Tower is 984 feet tall.
Okay.
So
I've seen that in real life. That sucker's tall.
I wish someday I'll see that in real life. But yeah, it's not a joke.
There's a sad story. The person who like architected the Eiffel Tower was madly in love with this woman who would not have him. And so he built the Eiffel Tower to look like an upside down flower to like commemorate his everlasting love for her.
Aw.
Yeah.
Wow. And didn't he do it for the World's Fair?
I don't know.
I think so, because they wanted to outdo Eiffel for the World's Fair that was in Chicago, and that's when they built the Ferris wheel.
Show off. Leave it to the French.
I know. So the Queen Mary boasts 2 swimming pools, a few beauty salons, a library, nursery, a music studio, a lecture hall, dog kennels, prayer rooms, a telephone connectivity to anywhere in the world.
How'd they do that on a boat?
I don't have any idea.
Okay. I don't even know how we do it now, but, like, that seems far-fetched.
Especially not in 1936.
What? Wow. What a remarkably long time ago that was.
Right. And then a ticket aboard the Queen Mary was $103.
In, back like, then. Old days money?
Right. So in today's money,
ooh,
we're talking about $4,766.
For a boat?
To go on a boat.
Fuck it. Get out of here. Get out of my face.
Get on this boat.
I don't even like boats.
Well, good thing, because the Queen Mary is quite expensive.
Here's my issue with boats.
Yeah.
If you're on a boat and you hate it, you can't get off the boat.
No.
Your only option to get off the boat is to get into a smaller, shittier boat.
Yeah. Or you could just stay, like, if...
No.
If you're, like, on a cruise ship today, you're, like, going to port, like, at 8 different places. Like, you could just stay at port and, like, pay for a plane ticket home. But if you're going from, like, England to the United States, like...
You're stuck.
Yeah. I mean...
You just better...
Take some Dramamine and go to sleep.
Forever.
Yeah. For the next 4 to 10 days.
All right, good vacation.
Right. So, you could either... This fact just made me laugh so hard. So this ship was so bougie that when you decided you wanted to take a bath, you wanted a little bubble bath, you could choose if you wanted salt water in your bath or fresh water in your bath.
Get the fuck out of here. Just pour salt in it.
Right. Nope. You could choose. Which one?
Who's like, I want my skin to be extra dry. Please, the heavy salt water bath, if you would.
So that is just a example of how bougie this place was. It has also been named one of the top 10 most haunted places by Time magazine.
Ooh. And you know what? Time really knows what's going on.
They sure do. So in, we're going to get into a little bit of the history and then we'll get into the hauntings.
Okay.
So the history, May 27th, 1936, she departs on her maiden voyage from Southampton, England. It took her 5 days for the ship to reach New York, and it passed through the area where the Titanic sank in 1912.
Show off.
Yeah. Like, rude.
Were you, but better.
Could you not have gone around it?
No.
No, we're just going to go right through it.
Fuck that iceberg.
I wonder if they made an announcement.
This is where those idiots sank.
And if you look to your left,
there's the iceberg that a giant boat couldn't manage to miss.
Right. On her 6th voyage, she broke the world record for the fastest crossing of the Atlantic. And it took 3 days, 22 hours, and 42 minutes.
I just, in this exact moment, realized I... absolutely cannot fathom how big the ocean is. Like, I know it takes, like, 11 hours to fly from, like, Chicago to London.
Uh-huh.
But, like, I don't know what that is in boat times.
Right.
Like, how fast can we sail across it now?
I'm about to tell you.
Okay.
Buckle up.
I'm ready.
Because the Queen Mary was so fast and so big, when World War II started, she was painted gray and deemed the Gray Ghost. So she was completely taken out of, like... cruise ship commission and taken on by England as a warship.
Oh, they just like really repositioned that asset.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
They took down like a bunch of like the fancy, bougie stuff and basically made it so they could fit as many human bodies on the ship as possible because they had to take soldiers back and forth.
Ooh.
Right.
Who are we fighting? What is this? What war?
World War II. We were fighting the Germans. Yep. So accommodations were increased from 2,200 to 5,500.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That is a packed boat.
Right. So they doubled it.
Yikes. Ooh, yeah. I bet they're like sanitation issues.
Ooh. Get ready.
Okay.
On July 25th, in 1943, she carried the most people who have ever been on a floating vessel.
That immediately made my stomach hurt.
Do you want to guess a number?
I don't. 6,000?
Uh-uh.
Higher?
Yeah.
Oh, 6,500?
What is that? 6,000?
500?
500? No. I'm telling you, don't make me math. 16,000 people.
What?
16,683 people were aboard this boat.
Oh, I don't fucking think so.
There is a photo. I was not prepared, so I don't have this photo to show you. I could probably Google it.
I'm on it.
Okay, go get it.
You read your story.
So, yeah, that was just an insane number of people on this boat. And then in 1947, she went through a 10-month retrofit where she was returned to her former glory as a luxury cruise liner.
Oh my God!
Did you see me?
I know!
Standing room only.
Oh. These are the shittiest tickets I've ever paid for my entire life. I'm calling Ticketmaster. I want a refund. We'll post this on our Instagram if you like want to go look at it. Yeah. But that is...
We should post the demon picture too.
We will. Okay. Yeah. I can smell this boat from here.
What?
Gross.
Yeah.
Army soldier boys.
Right.
Okay.
Those poor kids.
Yikes.
So, yeah, that was 16,000 people on that floating vessel.
Like, at what point like the top. Are you
concerned about it sinking because of weight? I get the, like, I don't know how anything works, so I'm not going to try to wrap my mind around it, but that seems like a lot.
I am not a nautical engineer.
No, I should call my brother.
Yes, you should.
Okay. So she went through this 10-month retrofit where she was returned to her former glory. She's a beautiful, gorgeous luxury cruise liner again. She went through many more years of being a luxury cruise liner, but nobody really forgot about this time that she was used in war times.
Mm.
Okay, so after she was done with her time as a cruise liner, she was purchased by the state of California. And is now docked there permanently as a hotel and living museum.
Ooh.
I know. So get ready for the hauntings.
My body is not ready, but proceed.
49 people have died on the ship.
Fucking why? Well, obviously, when you think of the statistics of those 16,000 people, that's not the worst.
Right.
It's still a lot of dead people.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It is a lot of dead people. Not to mention... in the war times, and they held prisoners of war.
Mm.
So, like, these 49 people are not counting those.
Oh.
So, what we're going to do is we're going to go through some of the most popular ghosts.
Okay.
Okay. So, number one, there's a little girl named Jackie. Jacqueline Torin was 5 or 6. She drowned in this ship's second-class pool. Yeah.
I'm sorry, just the thought of you're on a ship and you drown in a pool.
Right.
Okay, go
on. Oh, like the Reddit had a field day.
with the irony of that.
With the irony of drowning in a pool on a cruise ship.
Of course Reddit did.
Yep. So that second class pool is now a theater, like they've like completely redone that area. But visitors report hearing Jackie splashing, calling for her parents, and even responding to questions when prompted. Some visitors believe that Jackie has a friend named Sarah who drowned in the same pool a few years later in 1949.
Best ghost friends.
I know.
Sweet babies.
It makes me a little happy that at least, like, she's not alone.
Right.
You know, with, like, all the rest of these ghosts, which are, like, not super friendly.
Okay, less savory.
Yeah.
Got it.
Okay, so the next, The next ghost's name is Grumpy. We don't know his name. We don't know why he's there.
We're assuming he's Grumpy.
Yes. So Grumpy is arguably one of the Queen Mary's most memorable ghosts.
Is it because of the name?
Yes.
Okay.
He is also known as Grumpy the Growling Ghost.
Listen, you don't gotta growl.
No.
I get it.
In my notes it says no thank you.
Big no thank you.
This spirit, whose identity is unknown, is especially memorable because he tends to growl at visitors. Grumpy is said to lurk in a room under the stairs near the first class swimming pool, and sometimes he joins another ghost in the boiler room.
Like, what an asshole.
There is places online where you can hear Grumpy growling. No.
Oh my god, hold on, sorry. Oh, I felt that like in my chin. I hate it. I hate it so much. Why you gotta be under the stairs?
No, don't hide under the stairs. Just like be out in plain sight.
What a stereotypical ghost thing. It's like he took a ghost stereotype and he just really like went for it.
Yikes. No, thank you. So another ghost, which this one is just especially heartbreaking to me. There was a young soldier named John Petter. Mm. They have nicknamed him Half Hatch Harry. John was 18. He was playing chicken with another crew member by trying to wait until the last minute before squeezing through the watertight doors. So there are these doors that are in the boiler room that shut if water is coming on board. So in order to try to keep the ship from sinking, they'll shut these doors. And they're like 12 inches of solid steel.
Ooh.
And those doors don't stop for anything.
That's... Your spine isn't going to really hold up in that.
No. So they were running a drill with these doors. And so he and this other probably 18-year-old kid were trying to play chicken. Well, he did not make it. Of course, the hatch door that he was trying to squeeze himself through was 13.
Oh.
Hatch door number 13. He wasn't fast enough and was crushed by the door. People report seeing his greasy handprints, and investigators tend to pick up a lot of activity by that door.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Do you want to know what's worse than being Half Hatch Harry's ghost?
Huh?
Being the kid that had to mop up Half Hatch Harry.
Oh, God. And what did they, like, where did the bodies go? Did they just...
Overboard? That seems like that can't be right.
Mm.
Well, I'm sure they have a theater and a pool. Certainly they have a morgue.
Oh, how horrible. Okay. So legend has it that someone murdered a young woman named Dana and her family in room B-474. The killer strangled Dana's little sister and mother on the bed and then shot Dana to death in the bathroom. Yeah. Dana's spirit can be found lurking with other ghostly children in the second class pool.
Ooh.
So she hangs out with Jackie and Sarah.
She's probably their like big sis.
Yeah. Oh, she sometimes joins Grumpy and Half Hatch Harry.
It's like adults ghost time only.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very sad. There's a ghost called the White Lady. She floats at the end of the first class lounge. Hmm?
She floats on the boat.
Oh my God.
Don't worry, I hate myself
for
that
joke. You couldn't help it.
I couldn't. It had to come.
I've lost my place. Sorry. Okay. She lurks in the first class lounge, and she's dressed in all white evening gown, and people have seen her for more than a half a century. Whether you believe it or not, it's up to you, but there's some photographic evidence if you're curious.
Woo!
Yeah, go ahead and look that up.
Okay. The White Lady. Why do I feel like every old haunted thing has a White Lady?
Right. And that's the thing, is like every haunted bar, haunted hotel has a woman that killed herself on her wedding night. So she haunts the place in her white wedding gown.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but there is a pretty good
you
photo
could, like,
of her.
You could like see her stinking ponytail.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Sorry, I have the heebs. Okay.
I didn't see it. Single damn ghost while I was there. I'm so mad.
Did you ask for a refund?
I should have.
No ghosts.
Like, I was promised that this place was haunted.
What an awful guarantee.
You know what? It would have been worth it. Okay. So, there is a room called B340.
Ooh.
This room is so fucking haunted that they have completely decommissioned this whole room.
What? They don't even let people stay there?
No!
What?
There's nothing in this room. They took everything out of it because they could not get the hauntings to stop.
Like, do the staff still go in?
I mean, if they have to, but it's empty.
Ooh.
Yeah, 100% empty.
Fucking yikes.
Yeah.
You better put something in there because that ghost is just, like, bored.
Right. It's probably out causing mischief somewhere else.
Yeah. Throw it, like, a Ouija board or something. Give it something to do in there.
Let's call other ghosts? No, well,
it seems like give it
a Ouija board. Dummy.
You just really don't like fun.
Give it Candyland.
What? Who doesn't want Candyland?
Yeah, but it's got and it's got Sarah and maybe Dana.
And the Peppermint Princess and the Maple Monster.
I'm just saying, we're not going to give it a Ouija board.
You hate fun.
I do. Please, nobody ever have fun. But the guys from BuzzFeed Unsolved went and stayed. And
I love those sweet baby angels.
So I don't know which one I'm more like.
Mm-hmm.
But
they're both very likable.
They're both very likable. I just love Shane's like never-ending sarcasm and complete disdain for everything that Ryan is putting him through.
I dance on your bridge, goat man.
It's me. Demons, it's your boy. Oh, God. Okay, so these two dum-dums decided to stay overnight in room B340.
They didn't.
They did.
That's bold.
And
the staff let them?
Well, they threw open the door and they were like, have at it. So they, like, slept in, like, sleeping bags.
Good luck, boys.
Right, they were like, I mean, bye, we're not giving you a real bed.
Gonna lock you in.
Yeah. And, like, all night long. Like, Ryan's like, Shane, are you asleep? Wake up! So, they didn't have any crazy experiences or anything like that. But just for a hotel to completely decommission a room and be like, we don't let people stay in there.
I want to know what, like, the financial loss to lease looks like on their income statement for them not renting that room. Like, I bet they could get like a big profit, like rent that room for like $100 more a night because, you know, people like us want to go stay there.
Right. So now that I'm thinking about my research, I think they may have recommissioned it. Cause I think I saw something on the website, on the Queen Mary website that said you could stay there for like $4.99 a night.
Fucking yikes.
Yeah.
So go to a cemetery. You got free ghosts, budget ghosts.
As somebody who stayed on the ship, I am telling you that I didn't see a ghost. So I'd be uber mad if I spent $500 and did not get a ghost.
Money back guarantee.
Right. Like, I want ghost evidence for $500. Are you kidding? So, okay. That's B340. So take that what you will. So the last item that I have to tell you about the Queen Mary happened while it was a warboat.
Ooh.
So this is especially sad.
Yikes.
So the Queen Mary is being escorted by the HMS Curaçao, and it is escorting the Queen Mary to Northern Ireland. The Curaçao was running a zigzag pattern in front of the HMS Queen Mary.
Like serpentine? Like why?
To try to confuse the U-boats.
What's a U-boat?
A submarine. an underground boat.
Water boat.
Oh my god. Okay, so you fuck my life. My brother's gonna kill me. It's a submarine. So one of the reasons they made the Queen Mary a warboat is because she was so fast.
Oh, sure. If she's the fastest boat in the land, then none of the other, like, bad guy boats could get to her.
Yeah. So that's why they wanted her to be a warboat. So the Curaçao is running a zigzag pattern in front of the fastest boat in the land. Who's going in a straight fucking line.
Okay, well, listen. I'm no expert in boatsmanship. Is that what it's called? I can see how this could go south quickly.
Right. So the Queen Mary was the Grey Ghost at this point, was mm-hmm. given very strict orders to get to the Northern Ireland as quickly and efficiently as they can,
mm-hmm.
stopping for nothing. So,
not even. Okay.
Yeah. Ooh! So, unfortunately, the Queen Mary ran straight into the Curaçao, cut it in half.
Ooh!
Because it was like six times the size of this other boat. This other boat was kind of small.
It's like a ram 225, whatever, a big S. It's like a big truck.
Are you trying to truck?
I'm trying
me right now.
It's like a semi-truck hitting a deer. How about that? I have more.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. That's probably more correct than the ram 225 megawatts that you were trying to talk to me about.
Do they have megawatts?
I don't know.
Oh. I was like, wow, you really know what's going on here.
Oh, well, we just pissed off a lot of car people. Sorry.
Do we have car people? Are we car people?
No.
I own a car.
Ooh, I do too. I don't think we're car people.
No, we're not.
Okay, so I have a quote from someone who was on the HMS, at the RMS Queen Mary when this happened.
Oh, God.
And he said, you know, she's running a zigzag all over the place in front of us, and I'm sure we're going to hit her. And sure enough, the Queen Mary sliced the cruiser right in two like a piece of butter, straight through the 6-inch armored plating, ooh, says Alfred Johnson, an eyewitness. Because the Queen Mary was under strict orders not to stop for any reason, they pushed forward without stopping. By the time another European ship arrived to attempt any rescues, the ship had sunk and most of the crew had perished. If they didn't die from hypothermia, they were taken with the current and died due to propellers.
Oh, of the Queen Mary. Oh, God.
Sorry.
Oh. Oh, wait, hold on. I'm sorry. My body needs a minute to absorb that.
Yeah. So, okay. Not a great way to go.
That's fucking graphic.
Yeah.
Okay.
About 100 men were rescued, but 337 men lost their lives.
Oh my God.
So they say that you can hear the men that died that day in the ship's hull screaming for their lives.
No.
And that, my friend, is the story of the Queen Mary.
That was super grim.
It was. Just a little bit.
A lot of bit.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Thank you.
So that is...
well done to you.
Thank you. Had a lovely time researching. Very sad for the Curaçao and everyone else. But I think that one especially, because like they were all just trying to like...
do their job.
Make the world a better place and like defeat Nazis. And killed the like comrades. I can't imagine being on that boat and like knowing that you just
like how helpless you feel knowing that you can't go back and
right,
help.
Right. And like how many people were on the Queen Mary that day that if they would have stopped and been sunk by a U-boat, like
would have then lost
thousands of people. And being the captain of the Queen Mary that night. Oh my God. Like,
what a strong decision that would probably weigh on your heart and soul for the rest of your days.
Right. There was one bullet point that I thought that I had that I didn't. I don't think that there's a whole lot of research behind this, but there was one guy that was like, hey man, good work today. I think they both worked on the boat. Go back to my cabin and have a drink and I'll meet you there. But the guy that went back to the cabin managed to drink poison instead of rum.
What?
And
what?
Managed to kill himself. Who? I don't know if he's a ghost, but that was one of the untimely deaths of the Queen Mary.
Is like, oh, I'll just keep my poison right next to my rum, and I'm sure I'll keep them straight.
Right. Like, and like, what guy is like, you know, I bet he keeps his rum under the captain's kitchen sink.
Oh, is that where you got it?
I don't know. But oh. Like,
right next to the Clorox.
That's where I keep my poison, under the kitchen sink. I think that's what it was. It was like,
just to clarify, you mean cleaning products?
It, well, depends on what you read. It could be, I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, cleaning products.
Okay. Yep.
Cool.
We'll let you know.
That will be a good intro into our next episode. That will
be our first correction. First of many. Let me clarify.
A perpetual, never-ending string of corrections. That's what this podcast is.
Yeah, we should basically rename it.
Oh, do you want to? A little bit incorrect.
A little bit incorrect. That would be probably the most correct thing we've ever said.
But that's a good segue into our next episode, which is crime.
Ba-na-na.
No promises that it has to do with poisoning, but no promises it doesn't not have to do with poisoning.
I already know what mine is. I'm so excited to tell you about it.
I can't wait.
Oh, cool.
Okay, well, hang in there. We'll be back.
Yeah, and soon. Follow us.
Oh, on all of the things.
Yeah, we're on Instagram and Twitter, mm-hmm. and we might have a Facebook group eventually.
If you're interested in that,
yeah,
let us know.
Yeah, let us know if you want a group, because that would be really fun.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Okay, well, thanks for hanging out.
Thanks for hanging out. We'll see you on the next one.
Bye! Bye.